reading through this story hardly gives us, the reader, the kind of panic that would have been present in the organizers of this wedding. Weddings are week-long events in the time of Jesus, and someone messed up bad. All of the wine set aside for the celebration was gone. The family is about to be embarrassed for being bad hosts. Maybe this wedding will forever be known as the wedding that fell short of expectations. Some of the cousins may even joke that this wedding is where dry receptions started. I'm pulling your leg a bit, of course, but in Jewish society, a wedding celebration was very important and usually lasted for 7 whole days. So that is a lot of planning and a lot of food and drink. This host was in trouble, and by most people's thinking, Jesus' mother was related to the bride, so she was on the hook for some of the possible embarrassment. This is where Jesus gets dragged into the picture. Jesus is asked to provide abundantly and miraculously. His mother says, "Do whatever he asks." So he asks the servant to fill up 6 ritual purification jars. They are big and made of stone, holding as much as 30 gallons of water. Jesus then turns this water into the best wine the celebration has had. But those stone jars. This is part of the story where there is a deeper meaning than Jesus providing abundantly with wine. The jars are a key to the deeper need that Jesus came to the earth to fill. I'm not sure if you are aware of the importance of ritual purification in Jewish society, but it is everywhere in Israel. My wife and I had the opportunity to travel to Israel a few years ago, and there are cleansing baths everywhere. This is the case because the people needed to be ceremonially clean to enter the temple, or to go to certain festivals or enter the synagogue. There are also rules to purify yourself after you have become unclean. And depending on the ritual, you would use a bath or you would use a stone jar like this, filled with living water. The jars are made of stone because the Jews believed that the water in the stone jars stayed pure. They were not of clay because clay was porous and introduced impurities. Ritual washing needed to be done frequently to show that you are living a good Jewish life. This ceremony comes from the Old Testament and the laws given to the Israelites, which we read about, or we can read about in the book of Leviticus. But they became an obsession of the Jews about 100 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, I mentioned that the jars were filled with living water, and this is something specific too. Living water is water that has not been moved by human hands. So these jars and the baths are filled with rainwater that is channeled to the bath or the jar. Imagine elaborate eaves, troughs, and pipe systems. Ancient. This takes effort and infrastructure so that they could be ritually clean. I hope that you can get the picture here of why the jars are important for the Jewish people and that they symbolize purity and cleanliness. And here is why we need to know this. It is not by chance that Jesus uses these jars. He knows that the Jews are obsessed with these rituals and aware of the need to continually wash in order to fit into their society and their rules. The reality is that ritual purification does not last. Just As the wine ran out at the wedding, the people were left empty. Empty of true purification, of true salvation, of true belonging. Stuck in a place where their cleanliness and their wine would always run out, making the people work hard to try and fit into society. Their cleanliness was a futile attempt of true purity. Where do we follow rituals, follow worldly desires, follow our own leading that leaves us empty? Because we can feel empty as well, going about our days obsessed with things that do not fill us and do not purify us, futilely using our own strength to get by, to fit in. My wife and I are fans of the TV show called A Series of Unfortunate Events. Originally, it was a book, but now it's been made into a TV series. The show is summarized in this way. After the loss of their parents in a mysterious fire, the three Baudelaire children face trials and tribulations attempting to uncover dark family secrets. The three young, smart orphans, Violet, Klaus, and Sonny Baudelaire, are trapped in a series of unfortunate events. Their parents were part of a secret organization, and after they died in the fire, they have left their children a large fortune, a lot of money. Their nemesis, Count Olaf, claimed to be their distant relative. He takes them in with the intent of stealing their fortune. Though, throughout the show, the children barely escape utter danger again and again, and they ultimately get into worse and worse situations. Count Olaf is a constant thorn in the Baudelaire side, stopping them from solving the mystery of their parents' death and of the secret organization. The children seem to always have the right answer, but the adults, who are supposedly looking out for them, are fooled again and again by Count Olaf's wacky but very obvious disguises. There is a warning about this show. It comes out in the theme song. It goes something like this. Look away, look away. This show will wreck your evening, your whole life, and your day. Every single episode is nothing but dismay, so look away. Look away, look away. Three children lose their home and go to live with someone awful. He tries to steal their fortune with a plot that's not quite lawful. It's hard to fathom how the orphans manage to live through it, or how a decent person like yourself would even want to view it. Look away. Don't watch. You will be disappointed. The show plays with the idea that nothing happy is going to happen. You will always be disappointed because there is no happy ending. And the show walks that line and leaves our longing for that happy ending empty. So do we find ourselves trying to get out of bad situations and thrive on our own, finding nothing but dismay around every corner, dismay and emptiness. We try to look good for others by posting on Facebook, Snapchat, or your social media of choice. All of the good things that are going on in your life. When someone is obsessed with these kind of social interactions, it leaves them empty because no one really understands them. They run out of energy and support like the wedding ran out of wine. When we feel empty, we turn to substances, such as sugar, alcohol, drugs, or cigarettes. We turn to processes and activities such as TV, internet, sex, computer games, work, shopping, gambling, or non-face-to-face communication. And still others turn to getting people's attention and approval in unhealthy ways, with non-genuine kindness, over-caretaking, over-talking, storytelling, or anger and blame. With sin in the world, we all look to falsehoods to fill us, or to satisfy us, or to purify us. What do you put your hope in that is not of Christ? A false cleanliness, a jar that is empty, a situation that always ends in unfortunate events. We as humans will always need more purification water. More sin comes in and more forgiveness is needed. Something bigger than us is needed to fill our emptiness. And as Christians, we have that hope. In life and in death, our hope is in Jesus. We need Jesus to provide abundantly and miraculously. And that is exactly what Jesus shows us in this Bible passage. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, gives us a sign of his abundance and a sign of himself being our source of purification water. Jesus provides abundantly and miraculously. He creates a lot of wine. 6 jars holding 20 to 30 gallons is almost 180 gallons of wine. I looked up how many grapes it takes to make wine on the internet, and it's about 15 pounds of grapes per 1 gallon of wine. So it would have taken 2,700 pounds of grapes to make all of that wine. Jesus blesses the wedding with abundance, with wine better than anything else served. And as he does that, he looks forward to when he will be everyone's source of hope. His foreshadowing is obvious to us, but less obvious to the people of the wedding. He says to his mother, "My time has not yet come." Jesus is saying that with this sign, I am putting myself one step closer to the hour of my crucifixion. One step closer to replacing those jars with a cross, with replacing the water in the ritual purification jars with blood that will wash away all sins. With blood that washes our stains. That is a gift of abundance. Jesus provides wine and solves a problem for a few people. But Jesus provides a means of replacing ritual purification in his own blood and death. John, the author of the gospel, is pointing us in the direction that this book takes. From signs of Jesus to the glory of Jesus, signs of his true self and to glory that lasts. Ultimately, the wine that Jesus made did run out. But what does not run out is the grace and love of Jesus for each and every one of us. With such an abundance of wine given, we need to look deeper into the story. Jesus looks to the future, knowing that he himself will be given to the world. To give grace abundantly, abundantly washing away sin, abundantly giving salvation to you, and not only you, but the entire world. You want to talk about abundance? That is abundance. Jesus provides abundantly and miraculously. I could almost say amen right there. What does that mean for us today? abundant grace that is given to those that follow Christ. It fills the emptiness that sin creates in our lives and gives us life to the full. This is the hope that we have in Christ. This is the hope that Jesus gives when he turns water into wine in those jars. This is the hope that we have, to have Christ in us, to walk with him and talk with him in our daily lives. In small and in big ways, we have hope because Jesus is with us. When sin rears its ugly head, we know that God is with us. When we feel empty or tempted to use our own means and strengths to fill our emptiness, look to Jesus. He gave a wedding gift of abundance and said, "I will be your source of purification. I will be your hope. I will not run out. I will not grow stale. I will be there till the end." I heard about a band the other day, a smaller Christian band that they were just seeing a bit of success. Their members were very talented, and they really wanted people to reach people with their Christian message. They worked really hard for about a year. Rehearsals, recordings, concerts, they continued to have some success, but something was wrong. Their rehearsals, which everyone used to look forward to, were dreaded by the group. Arguments, passive-aggressive comments, and anger had come into the practice studio. Nothing was good enough, and everyone was tired of living up to each other's expectations. They had lost something. During one of these rehearsals, a band member said that she wanted to quit. She had had enough, and as she walked out the door, she said, "There is no joy here. We sing about Jesus and love, but there is no joy here." The other members of the band look at each other and were hit with a load of bricks. They had separated the message from their rehearsals. They had lost their own goal of spreading the Christian message from within. The band used to pray before rehearsals, but that had stopped at some point. The band used to review its message as well as its music, but that had stopped too. A Christian band without Christ. That same rehearsal day, the band got together. They prayed. They repented that they were chasing success and not Jesus. They were doing it on their own and not with his strength. They now spend more time praying and listening to God's call on their music. They are now chasing Jesus and not success, trusting that if they live out the gospel, Jesus will fill them with joy and success as they use their talents. God's grace is abundant. Jesus' love is given. Trust in him, and he will provide abundantly and miraculously. Not for us to get what we want, but for us to be witnesses to the world around us. God is at work in our lives and gives us what we need for this day and eternity. Let's pray. God of abundance, we thank you for love sent down to us and the miracle of the cross. Jesus' blood washes away our sins. May we have that hope, that purification all the days of our lives. Thank you for your signs given to us so that we can see your glory. Amen.